Hello, my name is Ronen Menachem Kamenetz, and I am so humbled and grateful to Hashem to be here with you today, live from Jerusalem, Israel, at the site of my great-grandfather, my Saba Rabba's hotel, the first Jewish kosher hotel of its kind, a millennia ago, 5 stars. And I mean, we're here today to share wisdom with you with 3 of my spiritual mentors, Gedalia Fenster, Anna Cohen, who is my spiritual healer and Kabbalist, and the director of the Tzfat Kabbalah Center, Eyal Reis. We have a very special program for you today, looking to share wisdom and reveal the truth. So follow me inside, and let's get some deeper wisdom.
Welcome from Jerusalem. I'm here at the old site of the Kamenetz Hotel, the first 5-star Jewish hotel, kosher hotel. And this class is in honor of Menachem Mendel Kamenetz. And I have 2 lovely guests. I have Anna Cohen, she's a mentor, life coach, author, and spiritual healer. And I have Eyal Reis, the director of the Kabbalah Center in Tzfat. I'm so happy to be here. My trip has been so, so amazing. There's been so much healing energy and so much love and light. And I said I have to bring this podcast to America. So I'm so happy to be here. So tell me, I know you guys have gone through really, really tough times. And I know in America, we're pretty much lost on what to do. And I want to try to give them a different perspective from obviously not the details, but the essence of the situation of what we're going through. And I hope that you guys can shed some light on it. So Anna, we were speaking today about healing and everything. Tell me what your angle is on this and how would this relate to our regular lives?
Okay, so currently, obviously, there is tremendous turmoil, not just here. Here is the epicenter, and globally, the world is feeling this vibration, right? It's a change. It's very different.
Right.
But what is it actually? And I think this is very much what I've been working with to help people have a practical approach to the situation. The first key point here for me is that we need to be able to understand that what's happening now is a different type of reality from the reality that we were living in before October the 7th. What we're living in now is an expanded reality. Now, what does that mean? Expanded reality is where we are experiencing more than we experienced before October the 7th. And how is that so? It's almost as though on October the 7th, there was a veil lifted that was sitting finally over the world, where we knew that maybe there were undercurrents, but we couldn't feel or see or hear or receive or understand the power of the depths of the true feelings and workings of the world. And when that veil was lifted, all of a sudden we became aware and our reality expanded because we were shown the way that everybody is functioning on the inside. It came out. And we're seeing that now. And that has a lot of meaning when you go forward and take it apart and start to say, okay, so what do we do with that wisdom now?
Right. So I've always heard the concept that stress is always outside. It's not, it's inside. The outside is just a place where it comes out.
Mm.
So in that, how you deal with people with healing and how you heal others, how would you start and where would you start? Let's say a person's going through a trauma, a person's going through a situation, how would you start and related to this event?
So yeah, it's very much following on my answer from what I said before. You take off the top layer and you go in. You go into the inner world and you see what's really happening in there. And you go not to what's laying on the top surface, but you go deeper, you go to the core. And when you go to the core and you start to be able to see what's happening in the foundations, that's where you can find the beginnings of a real, true healing. Because healing happens not by just peeling the layers, although that is part of it, right? That's part of the discovery. We also have to go to the core and start to see what's causing the fluctuations from the bottom, because we function that way, you know? We are 85% subconscious, most of us, in humanity, right? And our subconscious is at the core of us. That's how we're structured. So we run from that space and we flow from that space. And now in the world, we are seeing that everybody's activities are activating, if you like, from that space. Because these people didn't all of a sudden develop all of these aspects. It's been growing and building.
It's been growing, absolutely. What would you say, now that you see 85% subconscious, it's a real number, and you know, people, that's what I've always said, that we don't see the way things are, we see the way we are. And how does a person change their subconscious? How does a person use the light of Kabbalah? Where would a person start to try to change their subconscious, if that's what's causing the reality?
There's a term in English, we call it superconscious. The word Kabbalah in Hebrew, it means to receive. But it's also associated with a very similar word in Hebrew, Hakbalah, which means parallels. Kabbalah reveals the parallels, the symmetry, the correspondence between that which is very high and that which is very low. Heaven and earth, for example, body and soul. Anna mentioned the term unveiling, removing the veil. I see it now as time of unveiling from above to below. And the consciousness which is developed by people, because this veil was kind of removed from above, it makes people respond properly if they understand
What's behind it?
And how do we do that? Here comes Hebrew again. The word for crisis in Hebrew is the word mashbil.
Break, right.
Mashbil, something breaks, shakes. And it's the same word for the Hebrew word labor, birth. It's amazing. So every such crisis, it's an opportunity, a potential for a completely new beginning. And the harder the crisis is, you know, a big shake, then much better things can grow and develop from it. And Kabbalah teaches us how to do it, the practicalities. We learn from the Zohar, the ancient text of Kabbalah of almost 2,000 years now, that the word Torah, it literally means instruction, guideline. In every teaching of Kabbalah, of spirituality, it's not just about, you know, understanding the above, but getting guidelines for how to act here. We can give some examples afterwards.
For example, okay, so how would a person, they would have to start, you know, for my own personal life, when I'm in a situation, I always need, you know, let's say I'm stuck in a situation. So I need some kind of, you know, learning or prayer to get me out and to expand the consciousness, to get me out of my ego, to get me out of my perspective. So this is what you're saying, because if a person's all of a sudden, he's learning, he's praying, he creates an arousal from below, which triggers an arousal from above, or he'll do a good event, or he'll do a nice positive thing, which now creates a positive action, and there's a mirror positive action above.
Yeah. And also, the more you get into these details, the more you can start to understand that beyond these points dotted around that he can do this and he can do that, there's more. There's a different type of framework, there's a structure, and there are, just like there's a physical structure to things, there are spiritual structures, and there are spiritual coordinates which allow people to get to the bottom of whatever they're experiencing, so they can experience a better reality. But the more you understand about what those spiritual coordinates are made of, the more you can make the most of your opportunity to heal, and you can expand, and you can become eventually super conscious. But you have to go into consciousness first.
But at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're really shifting responsibility on the person to say, hey, you're not looking at this the right situation. You're not seeing it right.
Yeah, it's
which
it's,
sometimes could be tough because, you know, you're dealing with, well, how about that person? Well, how about that, what they did? So you really get them out of the messenger and get them into the looking inside and really, really working thorough.
Yeah, and I also help them move spaces of energy that are trapping them. So let's say that.
Explain to me how you would move spaces of energy is trapped.
So let's say people.
And how would you create a block of energy? Is that dwelling on something for too long?
How would you create a block?
Yeah. How would a blockage of energy come to a person?
So it can come from many different places. A person can create it inside of themselves, or it can come from outside. There are lots of different aspects and ways that energy can collect inside someone's system or even around them that affects them. It doesn't have to be just inside. It can be external as well. And normally, most human beings find that they're a combination of all of the above, because that's how the world works, right? That's how we function. So we have to start isolating, like a spiritual detective, what's going on in all aspects of the person. And then when you see that, you can start to give individual guidance and mentoring about, okay, so here, here, and here, these are your most powerful points right now. So let's look at these at the same time as looking at the foundations and the original experiences. You know, we're born into this world with a pre-existing state in our soul.
Okay.
And that's also something that you have to look at. But it's not the first place you have to go. The first place you have to go is starting to understand how you function, because the world tends to look at themselves from the external in, right?
Right.
We are an external validation world.
Exactly.
That's a fuch, right? That's
opposite.
Upside down, that's back to front. We need to be looking from an inner space first. And once we go and understand that, okay, we're starting on
this
the inside.
This is what I'm attracting in my life, because this is the way I feel about myself.
Exactly, it's like frequency, right? We
correct.
Vibrate in this frequency. That's exactly what we attract towards us as well.
Wow, it's pretty, I see it black and white. I mean, I see it, you know, in my own life with people, you know, and I think that the Torah tells us, you know, that the water was bitter because they were bitter.
Correct.
So we see, basically, if we're bitter, everything's going to be bitter in our lives. Would you recommend more prayer? Is this something where we rectify our heart? Or how does the heart and the mind, I know we just read a Torah.
Correct.
From
it's
the Ashlag.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Explain how the heart and the mind are both connected and how to clear that. Because at the end of the day, we all agree that it's faith that's going to get us to the next level. Because we're going to, even if you start healing, even as the healing process starts, there's going to be major roadblocks and resistance. So how to really break through those things.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about how we just read about the Ashlags.
What we just read here in this beautiful book, new book, I must say, it speaks about the service of the heart, and it speaks about the service of the mind, both aiming to attain, to make grow and advance faith. What is faith? Emun, we call it in Hebrew. Emun is, in Hebrew, again, I'm using Hebrew, it means also training, something you gotta practice. Person asks, where is my emunah? Where is what? Did you lose something? Did you have it before? It's not about whether I had it before and now it disappeared because something happened. No. Emunah is something you constantly have to practice and train. How do you practice emunah? Isn't emunah faith, belief, something which is above your brain's capacity of grasping, understanding? Is, but when you study, and that's Kabbalah, when you study matters of faith, you internalize it, and it affects your consciousness from the beginning of the day till the end of the day. I tell you, for example, a very simplified way of explaining emunah. One day, you know, when you study math, when you're in third grade or something, you study multiples, 2 times 2 equals 4, says who? The teacher. Do you understand multiples? You never heard the term before,
right.
but you believe
we're
her.
We're assuming her, right.
But math and 2 times 2, it's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of understanding. But once you understand, one day you do a download from the level of faith to understanding, so then it makes your faith more pure. What's pure faith that people wish they have? Please, it's when you download from this mix, you know, of faith and knowledge and understanding, everything you can understand from faith, then the faith up there remains pure. How do you connect with it? Just like it says here so beautifully. You ask for ways of how we can benefit others. It's all about myself.
That's the heart. With others,
you exactly. You have to ask yourself compassion. You have to arouse compassion for others. What can I do for others? And I want to say about what you're experiencing here in Israel. I'm telling you, over the past 6 months, I came across the best people I ever met in my life. You're one of them, you're one of them. But people that are looking what they can do for others, what they can do for the world, which light can they bring, you know? And everybody can be that. Everybody can be that light, be the light. That's the call.
So the bottom line is, unless we fix the relationship with others, we really cannot hit our higher spiritual level, which is, because even if we can have faith, we can have the mind itself, but the heart is still off.
You're right.
And I feel like, you know, Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, it's the heart.
Yes.
So you can't have, you really can't have, you can't be a spiritual person and have 100 enemies, because that means something is off.
Yeah.
So that means even in the religious sector and the non-religious, even the religious have to need to open up their heart to people who are not so observant.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the heart itself. It's not just about secular. It's they have to do more chesed, and it's a lack of understanding.
Yes.
Coming from Tzfat, I will add just a little line here. Coming from Tzfat, we pray, we use the prayer book of the Holy Ari, the greatest of Tzfat Kabbalists in the 16th century. And the way he opens his Siddur, the prayer book, is, I'll say the Hebrew, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. That's the beginning of everything.
It's crazy. It's incredible.
I hereby take on myself the mitzvah, the positive command, as love your fellow as yourself. That's the beginning of everything.
That's incredible.
Right.
Otherwise, we would never think that.
No, you don't think it naturally, but also when you put it into practice, it's challenging.
Yes.
A lot of people find that very hard, right?
Okay,
a lot of people say, yeah, great, that sounds wonderful in context, but how do you actually practice that?
Right.
So one of the tools, if you like, that I teach when I'm working with different groups is that there was this wonderful creation wisdom about the cube, that the world was created in this cube aspect. And there's a lot of detail in there, but I'm going to break it down into a cube that we can utilize. Imagine that we are in a cube, okay? And imagine that each of those cubes has an energetic wall to it. Now, if we talk about what each of those walls are made of, then we talk about our energetic field, okay? And when we start to talk about the energetic field, then we start to understand what we are walking around the world vibrating in, what we choose to put out. And I teach that the right wall is made of love and how to break it down, how to understand it. But I also teach that around the other areas of the walls, there are other aspects. The front aspect is faith. It's imuna. And I often teach it as trust, because there's a whole wisdom in the idea that you can put your hand out to God's hand, you know, and take it and really trust him. Like, you know, there's that great story in when Lot was leaving Sodom, right, with his wife, and Hashem said, run, okay, go, take my hand. I will lead you to a better future. You must take my hand, you must trust me, don't turn around. And Lot did. He went.
Around, right.
His wife turned around. What happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt.
Christ.
What's that telling us? She calcified. She couldn't move forward.
Wow.
She kept looking back and she couldn't embrace the present or the future. You have to understand what your energetic surround is made of in order to be sure about how you are moving forward in this world. How are you showing up? Yes, things are difficult. Let's break down why. How do you feel about other people? How do you learn to feel better about them without having to bring them directly into your energetic field? How can you keep them on the outside, but feel positively towards them? How do you love somebody?
Right.
Like, you know, the person you're passing on the street.
Explain to me how, you know, there's many sources in Kabbalah that if you send somebody a positive signal, they actually feel it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not next to them.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Explain to me how that works. It's a pretty wild concept. Like, if I can think about it positively, that person
would love it.
It's a little wild, because what's the synchronicity?
It's logic.
Explain to me. Even though it sounds logical, I could be here and send, you know, a friend of mine, all of a sudden pray for them and send them love, and they will feel it.
Of course.
And the same thing, the opposite.
Yeah.
Explain to me how that works.
You know, if you look at the world around you, and you even read Genesis, you know, you see how many inanimate objects God created, right? So many galaxies and sand and molecules of who knows what, and metals and minerals and subatomic elements of so many plants, species, these, that, bushes, herbs, forests, jungles, and how many animals, species, all kinds of birds and sea and the ocean. How many humans? Just one. Because a human, it says in Kabbalah, it's even King Solomon says in the Bible, the whole world is in a person's heart and mind. Unbelievable. Now, we created one Adam, and one person can change the world for sure, benefit the entire world with a good thought. Now, in human, you know, experience, we realize that our thoughts count. Thoughts create, we say, right? Ideas come from you. It all starts with the mind. So there's a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov that says, you are wherever your thoughts are. The real you is where your thoughts are, where your vessel of your body is. So whenever you host a good thought, you think good of someone, you reveal the hidden good inside of him. Nobody sees your thoughts. You know, when you say a good word, it ignites, it inspires the good in him. But when you think a good thought, it inspires the hidden good inside of him, the most hidden, the essence of the good inside of him, the godly spark.
Beautiful. That's where Reb Nachman has a famous Torah in Lesson 49 that basically, if you're having a good thought, it's coming from the good inclination.
Yeah.
If you're having a bad thought, it's coming from your ego, which is all about safety. It's all about you know, judgment. It's all about fears. It's all about... So that's, the question is do we have the capacity today to be focused? Do we have the capacity today to sit in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and just vibrate on this energy? I think we all know what to do.
Yeah.
I think we all know what to do. Do we have the mental focus to be able to sit and send vibrations to others? And that's really the question.
100%.
That's the hard work.
It's work, but it's possible. And it's possible beyond what most people realize. People have far more power than they are ever able to understand. And what's happening right now, I think, is that a lot of people are starting to understand that and begin to reclaim that power. We gave our power away in lots of different spaces.
Right.
Now we are re-empowering. And what does that mean? We are going from becoming the student of our own selves and our own inner worlds to being the co-creator, the master,
right?
Where you can work in harmony, in unison with Hashem, with the creator energy, and unify your energy with that global, that life force energy, and you can achieve beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And there is power. Your intent and your will combined can create miracles.
I think that's what people don't recognize their power. I was reading this book by the Ashlag, something beautiful that I never saw before. And he said in there that if your service, if you're doing things spiritually, because you're in a, you know, when you find difficulty and you still do it, that means you're actually giving. You're in a giving state. But let's say I wake up inspired and I pray, then I'm actually in a receiving state. That means the fact that you're receiving it. The fact that, for example, the first night of Passover, we are receiving the light. We didn't earn the light, right? The 49 days, now the other 49 days to get the light back, we are now the givers. The first night, it's really we're receiving. And I know the whole system of receiving is made for the bread of shame, so we don't take care of the light. But the fact that, like, for this morning, I have to wake up. It's, you know, 50, 60 degrees outside. I'd rather sleep. No, I'm not gonna do what my body. I'm gonna break my body, and I felt like a giver. I gave my pleasure to my creator.
Yeah.
Versus if you just wait for moments of inspiration to do things, then you're only a receiver.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is it's an unbelievable concept, because we think difficulty means I'm not connected. People think I can't pray. I'm confused. I'm not connected. So God's positioning ourselves to become givers, but we want to only do things when we feel like waking up. We only want to do things when we feel like receiving. And then unfortunately, that doesn't allow us to become givers. We're only receivers.
A time we're living in Kabbalah, is titled a feminine era.
Okay.
We should know that. And the weekly portion, beginning today, it's called Tazria in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus. And it starts with the Hebrew, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar. When a woman conceives and she gives birth to a boy, to a man, to a boy, that's how it continues. So and so should happen. I'm saying metaphorically because the Torah is all about codes, right? So, man and a woman, okay, is the relationship between God and our souls is like the male factor, our souls like the female, the feminine. So it's time for us, like the feminine inside all of us, men and women alike,
have,
you know, to be aroused and create a different reality.
Mm-hmm.
And from conceiving, like the weekly portion speaks about, it's already in labor right away, you know, and makes God respond, you know, like, Tazria v'yalda zachar, she gives birth, and then the male, like God, appears.
That means shefa. The male would be the
shefa.
You're talking about when giving birth is equivalent to shefa.
Exactly.
And the giving birth itself is the labor pains.
Yeah.
is
to the struggle to get to the shelter.
Challenge.
Right. So you have to scream out. You have to scream out in labor sometimes.
You have to scream.
I didn't go through it, but you have to scream,
but you also have to understand that it's a gift, right? How do you view challenges? How do you view difficulty? If you choose to view it as a gift so that you can use it as a stepping stone to reach the next level of you, the next level in your life, the next understanding, the next level of joy, right? You're already shifting your narrative to the positive, to the tough. You're already winning. You're already getting it. If you look at everything in your world as difficult.
Because you go from a giver to receiver, right? Exactly. That's the energy you're going to.
That's Geula. That's Geula.
You know, one of the prayers I say every day, one of the prayers is Rav Nathan says, we're in the birth pangs of Mashiach. Without the strength to give birth. So right now we want to. Mm-hmm. Like we all want it. We all want to give people benefit of that. We all want to give to find good points in others. We don't have the strength today. That is the goal. That's the problem today. I'm gonna be at the reality.
I think we don't have
right. But mentally because we're in such labor, mentally we're all I'm just telling you the reality of what people feel that mentally we don't think we have the strength to actually give birth.
Yeah, and I just have to say that
was actually his prayer, by the way. Uh-huh. His prayer was at that time, uh-huh. without the strength to give birth.
So I want to tell you something very interesting on this line now that you've brought it up. Who helps you when you're giving birth? The midwife, right? Mm. Who is a midwife in Judaism? Miriam. Right. Miriam is a very interesting character in the Torah, and she is very powerful right now in her identity because she really represents a massive portion of what's happening right now. And the energy, as we go into opening up the meaning in her name and who she was on the depths of who she was, then we start to understand Geula and the feminine power and that we say in Hebrew, Meleveh, what will escort us through this period in the right way to bring us to the final redemption.
Why do you feel women are going to be the ones taking the control of the Geula?
What was always supposed to be the feminine energy. Right. It's written and it's been predicted and it's been shared and it's always been intended. And if you look at the world now, the male energy took, over for a really long period of time, essentially. But female power has been lifting over the past couple of years, and it's been the direction. And now more than ever, we have in our energies power beyond what most people understand to be true, to actually put the verbal into practice, to put the tools into play. There are resources now that we're using in this period that we didn't need to use before. Right. It's a different reality, therefore we have to bring out those tools.
I do see a strong rise in feminine, but at the same time, the negative side of it could be too much control. So how do they balance that? Like when it's improperly used, it becomes control. It becomes I don't need the male anymore. I think that's what's happening in America. It's the feminine energy is becoming more like I don't need you. I'm independent, which mirrors the sin of Chava.
Right.
So how do we make that? How do we sweeten that judgment and really? A strong woman, but not a controlling woman, like, I don't need you, too much independency.
That's such a good question. Yeah. So if that's the direction, then that female energy
is
distorted, because the female energy and the masculine energy are one. We actually just went through Shemini, the parasha, this week, which is eight, right? And what is that structure of eight that I'm making with my hand now?
Well,
that is the masculine and the feminine in unification. That's the koach. It's not that we're doing it by ourselves. We're leading, but the masculine energy is still there as the other half. They never separated, because what is the whole purpose of existence? Unification. Hashem Kodshol Abrihu, right? You bring the two together, and when they find ways for them to stay unified, that's when Geula is coming. That is Mashiach. And it has to be internal, and then it has to be external, and then it has to be global, and then it has to be universal. There are steps and stages, and we have to look at understanding the process in order to bring
And also, I think the feminine energy is also is for the men to be more emotional in their prayers.
Absolutely.
To be more, use emotion, because you could see it became, such a mind, Torah became such a mind, wisdom, but lacking emotion.
This is huge, yeah. This is a big subject.
Like I mentioned before, we also have the feminine.
We need to arouse our feminine and have a cry out to our Creator, be vulnerable. And I think that's where strong men can be vulnerable. And that's that area where it's really how you can really create major shifts in relationships and et cetera.
Yeah, we're living in an era of shifting, you know, from one reality to the next one. I think it's best if we study the next phase and understand it and create it now. Because just like we're learning, you know, quantum mechanics, you know, entanglement theory, right. It's not just a theory, it's actually a reality. Everything is entangled. Every part and particle, spiritual, physical, micro, macro, also in time. You know, time is a creation. And God is above creation, and He creates creation every time, every moment, every second, time and space. And what we do now can have a great impact on that which is
your generation
tomorrow. You know, it's now, it's all connected based on the past. We can even fix matters of the past. You know, it's all about, tell you what, we teach mindfulness. You know, everybody loves mindfulness.
Sure.
When we focus on the here and now, but the way what Kabbalah adds to it is the here and now as it's connected with that which is above the here and now. Not being limited to, you know, the seven, you know,
Sefirot,
but also to the eighth, like Anna was mentioning before.
Beautiful.
And see how the eighth, the infinity, manifests itself in the finite. Infinity and finite, that's Kabbalah.
Exactly.
It's incredible how you'll see like the whole world being a certain global consciousness. Everywhere you see this energy, it seems to like when do these energies? I know I was watching a film that you did, which was incredible. Your center is amazing. Your center is Fat. He has a beautiful center where he educates people in real Kabbalah.
Thank you.
And there was a time, there was like 1840, the revolution.
The second industrial revolution. It was again unveiling.
Right. So he was explaining the video that just like there's a revolution. There was an industrial revolution where all of a sudden people used, you know,
technology.
That was the beginning of the it paralleled a spiritual
revolution. At the same time, a download, you know, from above of a new paradigm of Kabbalah,
right.
Making it accessible, applicable to all.
It's incredible to feel this energy. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I just wanted to say, the eighth that you're referring to, and that finite and infinite, the eighth represents transcendence,
right.
But it's both ways. It's the transcendence of, you know, us to that higher self, to that greater superconsciousness, and it's also the superconsciousness transcending down into us and how that interplays. And what you said before was so powerful because you're putting more emotion into prayer.
Mm.
Yeah. What does that do? You create a greater ripple.
You expand your heart.
Yeah.
Very nice. And shmone in Hebrew, it's the same letters of neshama. Soul. You put more soul into prayer, more soul into everything you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about how you do it, the intention, what you have in mind, it elevates everything, the heart, the mind.
Right. You know, it's one of the things that Reb Nachman speaks about is why it was very connected, is a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even start with emotion, like, and the emotion will come afterwards. Like, if you're going through a tough, you can't pray, pretend it. Like pretend you're praying, pretend you're, and like shake around, and then it'll come afterwards. So you could see how much right now the emotions of what God wants. He wants this. You know, I was reading in the book that it's in that book about it's not enough that it's not you have emunah. No, it's given to you. Which that's a wild concept. You know, people say, do you have emunah or not? Yes, I have it. No, it's given to you. That means you have to beg and plead God for faith. Which we think, what are you talking about? I have faith. I could just... No, it doesn't work like that. Emunah is so... you might think you have faith until you get an email 20 minutes later and you freak out, right? Exactly. I have faith. I have faith. I love you, Hashem, BH. You know, I had a friend of mine. You know, he was on... He opened up a new business. He puts BH on every single paper. And all of a sudden, I see what happened to the... No more BH? No, I got hit with a headache. So everybody has emunah until life smacks them in the face.
It's very interesting you should talk about that. There's like a breaking point for people. There's something.
It's a breaking point for people.
Yeah. But there's something inside the soul.
It's a test also.
It's a test, exactly. It's a test for what? there's something inside of us called Dat, right? And that's a place that we have to break through in order to be able to get to a more permanent state of Emuna. And when we're not be able to connect to our Dat, which is our hidden knowledge technically, things will create anger, things will break us. When you're in more of a space of Dat, you don't find that. It's a greater harmony.
And they're both on the same line Kabbalistically, Dat and Machus.
Yeah.
So they're both aligned.
Antiferet
in the middle, and that's your heart center. Right. Your heart center has the greatest power. It's way above your thinking mind. You know, in society today, we think our mind is king. We've been raised that way. We were brought up to believe that, you know, our mind will take us everywhere. Our intellect is our life gift. Yes, it's a gift, but it has a job and a role. But if we give it too much responsibility, it starts to overflex its muscle and then it takes control. And then we're in trouble and we have to learn how to disempower it and move up to our heart center, which is higher in our soul structure than our
definitely,
mind.
Today we see definitely that EQ is greater than IQ.
For sure.
Yeah, emotional intelligence is much greater than just being intelligent. Because you can be very intelligent and have no willpower, and you're not getting knocked out. Many books are talking about emotional intelligence today. Which emotional intelligence today is faith, your ability to handle and persevere.
Yeah.
I tell you something from Kabbalah. Perhaps the most ancient text of Kabbalah that many people are familiar with, it's called the Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah. And the first Mishnah, the first line says that God has created the world with the 32 paths of wisdom. Like intellectual, you think, but 32 is the numerical value of the Hebrew word lev. There are 32 cognitive channels from the brain to the heart. We can connect, you know. It says in the Zohar that we're born with the nature of brain controlling the heart. Okay, good. But controlling in what way? Not putting it down and say, whatever you desire, you're not gonna get. No, on the contrary, channeling it higher. Wish more. Ask for more with the heart, with the feeling. Ask for to receive that which is beyond your intellectual capacity and so on.
So Chabad says the brain controls the heart. Breslov says the heart controls the mind.
It's complete opposite. They're both connected.
I go with the latter.
But I tell you one last thing. We have, God bless, we're the tzitzit, right? And the tzitzit has 32 strings, not the number 32. And tzitzit symbolizes action. Action opens up the heart and opens up the mind and opens up everything, you know?
Right. There's a famous action is because everything has to go through thought, speech, and action.
Yes.
So an action overcomes thought and speech.
Nachon.
Right. Yeah. Action that means if a person can take action, his thought and speech does not make a difference because he's already into action.
No, think about it. These people ask, okay, what do I do? I mean, that's a real question, you know. It's not like so much the philosophical, you know, what is happening. You ask, what do I do? So first of all, the answer is, what do you do?
Do something,
you know, and then it will, you know, lift up all the constellations of mind and understanding and the heart and faith.
Sure. That was a very big Lubavitcher Rebbe, always told people, do something.
Yeah, do something.
Like, get out of your head. Just go, you know, go, open up a shliach, open up.
Yeah, do something, do something.
It's so true. We were put in the physical world
to
make something of it, and it can take us to places that are very opening if we let it, if we direct ourselves in those areas.
I'm thinking it's so symbolic here, when a place that the person actually, it was about doing, you know, Menachem Mendel of Kamenitz, right? Mm. He was in Europe.
It was a door.
It's a door. He was born, and then he knew always he wants to come to the land of Israel, and he came. And he came to Tzfat. In Tzfat for 3 years, that's what I know from books, you know, he devoted his time to study Torah in the Bet Midrash of the Pushim. And then years later, he came here, and he opened up a big vessel, you know, beautiful Jewish vessel, five-star, you know, to accommodate people and make a difference, you know, in the land of Israel with people. It's amazing. And we're here in this place years later, you know, doing what we're doing, a podcast from here, bringing the light to the world through media. Right. You know, I think it's amazing. You know?
And then he opened up another one, correct?
Yeah, he opened up, I think it's children of himself. They opened more, like in Jaffa, in Hebron, in Jericho.
See when motion creates motion.
Yeah, exactly.
You get going, you get going.
Yeah. And it's action, you know, that leads to more.
It was such an amazing time. I've had such an amazing time in Israel, and this is such an amazing time getting your perspective on everything. And the bottom line is we can make a difference.
Absolutely.
We don't have to watch the news, we can make the news happen.
Very good.
And that's really what your job is. It could start with your individual level. Just I was in Israel, I was just visiting the soldiers, and all of a sudden you're talking to a soldier. You know, I'm coming to Miami. Come to the Heat game. You can build relationships in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's not just watch the news. Let's see what happens. No, make something happen.
Absolutely.
There's three types of people. There's people that watch things happen. There's people that say, I don't know what happened. And there's another person that says, makes things happen.
Exactly.
So we don't want to be the one that says, I don't know what happened. We want to be the one that makes things happen.
And if a person does a good deed here in the land of Israel, it impacts, you know, the entire world.
Amazing.
You know?
Right,
amazing.
Right. And if we just sit in front of the news, right?
Which is what
a lot of
people
are doing.
People are paralyzed.
So
people
it paralyzes
fearful.
Us.
They're not doing anything.
And we are letting happen what they want to happen. But beyond that, I think we all have to question ourselves at one point or another and say, are we the chooser or are we the chosen? Like, are we going to stand up and do what we want to do, what we think is right? Or are we going to just sit here and be
and
one
judge,
of a number?
And this, and then this, who's right?
Yeah.
Who's right? You know, there was an amazing quick story that I heard, you know, about instead of like the Shlomo Karlbach, and all of a sudden, you know, there was a specific movie center that was opened up on Yom Kippur, and there people were judging him. Look at these people watching movies on Yom Kippur. So Shlomo Karlbach says, go bring a shofar there. All of a sudden, he blew the shofar in the movie theater. And the next thing, they asked him, do you have a synagogue too? So he got them to come to the synagogue from blowing the shofar. But you look at the intelligence of it. The same thing. You're a Haredi woman. Go visit. Go put on mezuzot. Go do something. Instead of judgment, whose fault is this? And we're back to the same problem again. Right. God wants us to get out of that judgment. He wants us to get into understanding. And positivity. And may we all merit to do that.
Amen.
And may we all merit to bring the gula that way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for all being here.
Thanks.
I'm usually the one people coming to me.
Thank you for coming here.
I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. We hope you come back soon.
Such a pleasure.